If you're here today and you have a lot of anger in your heart, please open your heart just for a little while, and this might very well help you the rest of the days of your life. We're going to stand and we're going to honor God as we read 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting at verse 25. And I just want to encourage you, if you're angry about something, this is especially for you today. He sat in his customary place by the wall opposite Jonathan, and Abner sat next to Saul, but David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day, for he thought something must have happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. Surely, he is unclean. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered, "David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I found favor in your eyes, let me get away to see my brother.' That is why he has not come to the king's table." Saul's anger flared at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you've sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On the second day of the feast, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. Father, as we study the anger and the wrath of Saul, Lord, help us not to follow this bad example of how to handle anger. Father, bless us and encourage our hearts that we'll learn to forgive and to let you be the equalizer. And Father, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On July 4th, 1826, two of our nation's founding fathers died on exactly the same day. They were only a couple hours apart in their death. And that was the second and the third presidents of the United States, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. What makes it interesting is that Adams and Jefferson were close friends and had been very close friends. They met in 1775 at the Continental Congress, and together they helped with collaborating on the Declaration of Independence. And so they were great friends. They were so close that after Jefferson's wife died, John and Abigail Adams regularly had Jefferson to their home for meals. Though they differed politically, they remained close friends until Adams ran for his second term as president and Jefferson ran against him. Then things got nasty real quick. Jefferson won, but the campaign was so filled with insults, and we've heard that the last several campaigns, a lot of insults, a lot of trouble. But in any event, the anger was so personal that they didn't speak to each other for 12 years. In fact, when Adams was inaugurated, Jefferson left the town. He didn't go to the inauguration, which is not a good thing, but he didn't. But years later, one of Jefferson's neighbors visited with Adams. Adams lived over in Massachusetts, and he reported back to Jefferson that Adams said he had always loved Jefferson and still loved him tenderly. Jefferson acknowledged that, and he said, "That was all I needed to reestablish our friendship." And they wrote letters back and forth and met several times, and they died great friends, both of them, July 4th, in the year 1826. So just kind of an interesting thing in history. Our Lord wants us to know that your anger and my anger cannot produce the results that are godly, that are pleasing to God. When we get angry, and we all get angry, that's an emotion God has given us. It can be good, But the Lord warns us very clearly here in James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So it isn't just men, it's women too. Women get just as angry as men sometimes. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Verse 20, this is the key, folks. Human anger does not, I want to stress that word not. Your anger will not bring about the righteous life that God desires. There are times in life when you should get angry, but be careful of holding on to that anger too long. And the Bible's going to tell us exactly how long that is in a few minutes. But anger is an emotion God has given. There's nothing wrong with anger. But when you carry that anger to the next day and the next day and the month and a year, and 10 years, it'll never bring about the righteous life that God wants for you and for those around you. Anger blinds and destroys what we love. We keep thinking our anger is righteous and it's good, and we better express it and just keep on expressing it. And God says, no, that's not the way I want my children to live. Our anger destroys our friendships. Our anger destroys our marriages. Our anger destroys every relationship you have. And it can even disrupt your relationship with the Lord. I've got a hospice client right now. Won't tell you a name. Doesn't matter. But the man's angry with the Lord. He's close to death. And he's still angry. He's a Christian. He's trusted Christ. But something happened in his life that just didn't strike him as right. God shouldn't do it that way. But God does things that we don't think are right. God in his word says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Folks, when we acknowledge that God's in charge and that he knows what's best, we don't have to stay angry. Life may make you angry. There are things that hurt. They hurt terribly. But we don't want to stay that way. In our text today, we read about King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He started out humbly. He was a good man. He was a big man. He was a head taller than everybody and bigger built. But he had a gentle spirit. He started out right, but as he got into the kingship, and he really thought after a while it was all about him. In fact, Saul had a statue built in his honor so that people would remember him after he was gone. Nothing wrong with honor, but the Bible says don't seek your own. But anyhow, Saul said in 1 Samuel 20, verse 31, as long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Jonathan, the son that was going to be next in line to be the king, Jonathan loved David as he loved himself, the Bible says. Jonathan was a good friend to David because he saw in David a man that was living for God, that had courage and strength. David had never done anything against Saul. But the Lord said, because of what Saul did, Saul was going to be replaced and David was going to be the next king, and Saul knew it. And Saul decided, I don't want what God says is going to happen. I'm going to make it happen the way I want it to happen. Folks, you're heading for trouble when you do that. And Saul is heading for trouble. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 32, Jonathan said, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled a spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. There's anger again, isn't it? But it didn't last. Jonathan's was short-lived. He got up in anger on that second day of the feast. He did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. Folks, again, it's okay to be angry. Jonathan had a right to be angry. His dad was doing something that Jonathan knew was not pleasing to God, was not right. And when somebody does something that you know is not pleasing to your God and it's not right, you ought to get angry. If you don't get angry about some things, you have no emotional feeling, no response to life. Anger is a God-given emotion, given to men and women to protect us, to help us to realize that's wrong and I don't like it one bit. But when your anger goes too long, like King Saul's did, Saul's been angry a long time now. Saul's been acting in anger for a long time. Imagine getting so angry at somebody else that you want to kill your own son. That's what Saul did. He threw a spear at his own son, who he wanted to be king next. Anger makes you irrational. If Saul's so worried about Jonathan being the next king, would you throw a spear at the guy that you want to be the next king? But that's what anger does. We act in rage instead of in self-control. Our Lord wants us to know that we can control our anger. This is so important because many people get angry and stay angry for years, and they never deal with it. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 18, Saul is so angry with what's going on with David that Saul had a man named Doeg kill the priest of God. If you can imagine a mind so twisted that you're going to kill the people that God put in a position to serve him. It says in 1 Samuel 22, 18, the king then ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priest." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priest, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle and donkeys and sheep. Can you see how far your rage, your anger can take you? You're killing the men who are serving God. You're killing not only them, but their families, their animals, everything. Saul's gone insane. Your anger can drive you insane to do things that in your rational times you would never even think of doing. This is where Saul is. David, on the other hand, is a skilled musician. David is a great warrior. David kills Goliath, the man that Saul and the whole army of Israel was afraid of. And the thing that really got Saul hot was after they came back from the battle of killing off the Philistines, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, this is where the anger starts. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, with singing and dancing and joyful songs and with thimbles and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They've credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me only with thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" Folks, it's okay to get angry. It says, and from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. It's okay to get angry. It probably is upsetting when the king has only killed thousands and this young man, who's probably the age of 18 or 20, has killed tens of thousands. It's okay to get angry about that for a little while, but it's not okay to stay angry. And sadly, he stayed angry. A man came to a preacher one day for counseling because the man's wife had divorced him. The man's wife hated to be around this guy because he was so angry all the time. So he met with the pastor, and the pastor, after talking with him for several minutes, said, "I can identify your problem." He said, "You are living in anger. Not just that you've become angry, but you're living in anger. Your voice expresses anger about everything you're talking about." He said, "Your problem is you haven't dealt with your anger." Well, the man got angry at the pastor, and he stormed out the door, hotter than could be. And so he got himself two more counselors. And each of those two counselors said, "The problem is you, sir. You are an angry man, and you're destroying everybody and everything around you." The man still wouldn't respond. He kept his anger, and he never got back with his family. Folks, that can happen. Pastor Williams, my former pastor, told the story of a man in St. Charles who drove Fords and only Fords. This man told his children when they were little, "You never buy anything except a Ford, ever." Well, this man's son grew up, and he was 50 years old, and he bought a Chevy. And his dad became so angry with him about buying a Chevy that he never talked to his son again. Folks, can you see the futility of that, the strangeness of that? Our anger is only meant for a little while. In Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." If you don't learn how to handle your anger properly, it will control your life. It'll destroy every relationship you have. Proverbs 16:32, "Better is a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." And in James 1:19, we read this before, but this is key to the whole sermon today. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Folks, it's so important for us to understand my anger that lasts longer than a day will never bring about the righteous life that God desires. Not in my life, and not in anybody else's life either. If I just stay angry, maybe they'll change. No, your anger stirs up their wrath, and their wrath stirs up your anger, and it's a terrible chain, and it'll destroy everybody and everything. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Lord tells us what to do with our anger. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." What are you to do with your anger? You're supposed to deal with it and stop carrying it. Carrying anger is like carrying a time bomb on yourself. It's going to explode. It's going to destroy you, and it's going to destroy all those around you. We need to be very careful we're not overtaken by anger. Anger is a useful tool. It's an emotion that's good to have from time to time, but it's not an emotion that's good to keep. And so the Lord tells us how to do it. It's important to understand that you can, if you do it through the Lord, you can control your anger. No one has to be controlled by anger. Everyone must control their anger. So the second way to do it is to learn how to control it. In Proverbs 29:11, it says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." It's okay to express your feelings, But be careful how you express them. It's okay to tell somebody, what you just said makes me very angry. But it's not okay to tell them that the next day and the next day and the next month and 20 years later. There has to be a time period for your anger to be dealt with. You can control your anger. Remember the story of Cain and Abel, the first two boys born on this earth? Cain offered a vegetable sacrifice, and Abel, his brother, the younger brother, offered a lamb. God accepted Abel's offering, but he said, Cain, I'm not going to accept your offering because there's no blood in it. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sins. The Lord said, Cain, if you do what's right, you're going to be accepted. In other words, this isn't beyond your control. All you have to do, Cain, is offer a lamb. That's all you got to do. Cain, instead of saying, okay, Lord, I'll do it your way, Cain got angry. It says his face was downcast and he became angry in his soul. The Lord gave him the right choice. But Cain decided no. And he wound up killing his brother. Folks, Saul is in the same situation as Cain. You have to understand this. God gave Saul a choice. Saul, you don't have to be angry all the time. Get angry from time to time if you must, and it's good sometimes. When I hear about another baby being aborted, I get angry. And we should be angry, but I don't stay angry with the people that do that. They're people just like you and I, but they don't know the truth. They don't know that's a human life in there. Or at least they don't acknowledge that it is. So to be angry with them and to hate them and to destroy them, it'll do no good. To love them and to pray for them, that'll do some good. In Genesis 4, verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? What he's saying is, Cain, you can deal with this thing. You don't have to stay angry. He says in verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Cain could rule over his anger if he chose to obey the Lord. But you can't rule over your anger if you don't trust the Lord. It's impossible for any man to control his anger if he's not trusting. A young man talked about going to a high school basketball game with his girlfriend. And the young man got caught up in the game, and he began to scream at the referees, and he began to scream and even curse at the players on the other team. When the game got over, his girlfriend got right in front of him and said, if you ever do that again, we are done. That young man had to make a choice. And that young man really loved that girl. And he never acted that way again. Folks, you have a right and you have the power, if you love Christ more than anything, to say, I'm not going to allow anything to make me so angry that I disobey my Lord. If you really love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And one of those commandments is that we are not to stay angry very long at all. In fact, the Lord gives us the exact definition of how long you and I as Christians are allowed to stay angry about anything. And it's given in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. In other words, he acknowledges you're going to have anger. No problem there. But in your anger, do not sin. In other words, don't throw the ball on the floor and scream and holler and swear and curse and just create all kinds of confusion. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. If you allow your anger to stay in your heart more than a day, you are giving the devil a foothold. He'll love to use that anger. He'll turn that anger against everybody, even against yourself. And you'll think you're right. Saul really felt he was doing the right thing. I just heard a radio show this morning as I was getting shaved up this morning, and it was about the man that killed Abraham Lincoln. He really thought he was saving the Union. He really thought he was doing the right thing. In his anger and rage, he killed the 16th president of our country. The same thing can happen to you and I. If we really think we're right, even when God says we're wrong, we're going to do things that are terrible. We're going to do things that are going to have repercussions for generations, that are going to hurt our own children. It's okay to be angry, but don't sin. It's okay to be angry, but don't stay angry beyond the sun going down that next day. Deal with it. Confess your anger to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, I'm angry, and I'm still angry. Please help me. Because sometimes we need help with our emotions. We can't always control them. But the good news is God always can. And that's the difference. We don't throw things, we don't curse, we don't sin. But if you let that anger stay in your heart too long, you are in sin. And you will throw things, just like Saul threw the spear to kill his own son. That's where your anger will take you. We need to refuse to believe we have a right to our own anger. Folks, the things that make you angry, and sometimes they hurt right to the core of our heart. The man I talked about is angry because the Lord allowed somebody in his life that he loved dearly to die before he thought she should. Folks, we're not in control of that. The day of your death, the Bible says, is recorded in God's book in heaven before you and I were ever born. That day is recorded. I don't know what my day is, but I know there's a day in the calendar, almost surely within the next 20 years, when this life for me is going to be over. Don't get angry about that. Rejoice in that. I'm going to heaven. I hope you know you are too. I don't look at death as a terrible end. I look at that as a wonderful beginning. I've had a good life, but the best days of my life are ahead of me, not behind me. I'm excited about heaven, and I hope you are too. When you read the description of heaven, it's so wonderful, I can't wait to get there. This life is good. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids and great-grandkids. We have great times together, but I've got a grandma and grandpa that are in heaven waiting for me. My mother's in heaven waiting for me, my two older brothers. I've got things to look forward to that are going to last forever. And all my family that's saved is coming right after us, and we're going to be together. So we can be excited about that. We need to refuse to believe we have a right to stay angry. God says, don't allow your anger about anything to go more than one day. We say, oh man, what she did, what he did, it was just so rotten, I'm going to stay angry. I'm going to be angry the rest of my life about that. You can do that, but it'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your family's life. It'll destroy your church. It'll destroy everything you care about. Anger makes you do foolish, foolish things that are going to affect everybody. Saul felt justified in his anger. Cain felt justified in his anger, but both were wrong. God says your anger and my anger can never bring about the righteous life God desires. God wants you and I to be just like Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross and they had put the spikes in, they're all out there cursing him, laughing about what he's going through. What did Jesus do? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't. They thought they knew what they were doing. We're putting this blaspheming man who claims to be God, we're putting him to death. But they didn't know what they were doing. They were putting the God of heaven, who became man, to death. They were putting to death their own Messiah. In their anger, they were destroying the only person that could give them hope. And that's what anger does. Never once did Saul ask God to help him. Never once did Cain say, "Lord, help me believe. Lord, please work in my angry heart." Never once. And that's why they never changed. You and I can take a different route from that. We can say, "Lord, I'm angry, and I've been angry more than a day. I've been angry for a week now. Lord, please help me with this." He will. The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, He does what? He hears us, and He always gives us the answer that will bring Him glory. Folks, you don't have to stay angry. There are things that are extremely important that we should get angry about. David, the man that Saul was the most angry with, David never hated Saul. David knew what Saul was doing was wrong, but he didn't let hatred for him bring up madness and anger in his own heart. He always loved Saul. In Psalm 31, David says about the Lord, "In you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." Folks, into your hands I deliver my spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says, after He gave up His spirit, He gave it up to God, and you can give your spirit to God. You don't have to be in charge of your own life. You don't have to do things that are wrong. You can, through Christ, do the right thing. You can forgive. When we stop turning to God to take away the darkness in our heart, and when you stay angry longer than a day, that darkness is going to start taking control. And that darkness is going to get darker and darker. You'll find yourself doing like Saul did, killing his own son, or trying to. You'll find yourself like Cain, killing your own brother, because you're so angry. Doesn't have to be that way. In Isaiah 59, verse 9, "So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows." Without God being in control of your life, you can go into that darkness. Even as a Christian, you can be controlled by your anger. And it'll get darker and darker in your life, and your life will begin to darken everybody's life around you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it gives us the answer. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Folks, if you'll let the Lord Jesus Christ lead your life, you'll find out that all those things that you thought were against you were actually for you. Part of our problem is we don't realize the greatness of our God. Nothing can touch your life unless it comes through your Father's hand first. That's hard for us sometimes to contemplate because we all have terrible things happen to us and around us. But nothing can happen unless our God allows it. When the demons were cast out of the man called Legion, they had to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for permission to go into pigs. Not just to go into humans, but just to go into pigs, they had to ask first. And Jesus said it was okay. Folks, nothing can touch you. No person, no demon, no spirit can touch your life to make you angry unless God has allowed it. And if God has allowed it, He has a reason for it. And the reason is found again in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. These two verses that I'm going to read to you, verse 28 and 29, are verses you really need to memorize. You need to realize God has a purpose for the trouble in my life. And we know that in a few things, God works for the good. Is that right? A few things? We know that in most things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's pretty good, isn't it? If most things is the majority, then okay, I can live with that. But that's not what God says. God says we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Everything the Lord allows in your life, even those hurtful things, are for your good, because they'll force you to go back to God to get the strength that you need to handle those problems, and you'll become more like Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I do nothing apart from the Father. Is that true of you? I know it's not true of me. I do things without referencing my Father in heaven. I make decisions that I don't even ask the Lord about. And then I wonder why things go wrong. Folks, everything in life should be taken captive to the Lord. Everything in life, your anger included, should be taken back to the Lord. You say, I just can't control my anger. And you're right. I can't control mine either. But the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do some of this through him who gives me strength. Pretty close? I can do most of this through him who gives me strength. Not even close, is it? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The only problem is, when we get into those bits of anger and moodiness, we don't go to the Lord. We stay angry, even though we know we shouldn't. We're going to have it our way this time. Folks, it won't work. I don't care how angry you get. I don't care how bitter your heart gets. You are never going to be in charge. I'm an adult. I should be able to make my own decisions. No. The Bible says you don't belong to yourself. You and I were bought at a price. Our life is God's life now. We don't belong to ourselves. We're not in charge. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the President of the United States or the biggest corporate leader in the world, I don't care. You are not in charge. You're not your own. You're bought at a price if you're Christ. And you need to do things God's way. You're going to find out in the end that it's the best way of all. When people make you angry, let them know, you hurt me, you made me angry. But then pray about it and get over it. Move on with your life. God has a plan why he allowed that anger to come. If you'll submit to God, you'll become more like Jesus Christ. If you don't submit to God, you're going to become more like Saul and Cain. You're going to wind up killing the very things that you love the most. I'm sure Cain cared about his brother. I'm sure Saul really loved Jonathan. But the anger drove them over the edge. And that's what your anger can do too. I plead with you in Christ's stead. Don't let anger control your life. You can be set free if you'll trust God to do it in you and then through you. Father, bless us today. Lord, so often the anger stays far, far too long. It separates. It doesn't bring us together. It separates. It brings nothing but pain and nothing but sorrow. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that you desire. Father, help us to learn how to deal with it by turning to you. You're angry from time to time, but your anger doesn't last forever, your word tells us. Father, help us to walk in your way, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.